Welcome to What's Happening here on WMFO in Medford. I'm Aaron.
Ralph Celestin.
Ralph is a fantastic director, actor, screenwriter, and all-around fantastic gentleman. We'll be back with Ralph to talk about Boston to Philly in just a moment. Enjoy.
Vicky, how you doing? How's the knee?
It's coming along, doctor, but still some soreness.
Well, let's see. You know, this soon after surgery, some pain is pretty normal.
I was hoping to get more painkillers. The first round worked great.
We're being very careful with those now. Prescription painkillers are opioids, same as heroin. It's easy to start taking them, not so easy to stop.
Last year in America, an average of 40 people died from opioid abuse every day. Long-term addiction has become America's newest health epidemic.
So no pills?
Vicky, you're doing great. So let's try these anti-inflammatories, plus your physical therapy. If the soreness doesn't continue to get better, give me a call.
For opioids, the smaller the dose prescribed and taken, the better. Because even a few prescription painkillers can sometimes go a long, wrong way. A message from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons and the Orthopedic Trauma Association. Visit orthoinfo.org/prescription safety.
All the glow, a Brooklyn Act lands downstream, guitar in hand in the summer heat. The faithful in their red and blue, a crowd outside the House of Blues, a dodge of vendors, hawkers, gawkers, stalkers in my way, breaking strings.
Welcome back to What's Happening. I'm Aaron.
You have Ralph Celestin here.
Ralph, I mentioned before I interviewed you the first time, a short while ago, that I had watched the movie.
Yes.
And I could not interview a second time without watching the movie again. There's so much more in that movie than what you see the first time. And I posted this up last time, and it's true, that you, the creator of the movie, the lead actor, the director, have introspective genius behind your work.
Thank you, thank you.
And it's important that you find what makes you happy. But you can't always do it alone. And that's, the movie really helps with that. So let's give the community out here a little bit of background about you, and then we'll get into the movie.
Absolutely.
You're from Arlington?
I am, yeah. I was born in Arlington. But I'm really from all parts of Boston. But yeah.
Absolutely. Well, you know what? You're a New Englander. You're from Boston. It's, you know.
Absolutely.
But I wanted to bring that up because once you see the first, into the first scene of the movie, they see Arlington, and that is your shirt from playing ball.
Mm-hmm.
And looking at the movie, I could see that you got a pretty good jump shot there.
Absolutely.
But so you wrote the movie. I know it sounds funny because people use the words train all the time, but you wrote the movie, started writing the movie on a train from Boston to Philly.
Absolutely, yeah. So I mean, I was dealing with so many different emotions. Right? I was, to put you in, this, in the mindset of the origins of my directorial debut film, Boston to Philly, which is available on Amazon Prime right now, by the way. The origin started with just a lot of different emotions and a need for me to spew out everything that I'm thinking and that I'm feeling onto a piece of paper. And the ideal time to do that was on a bumpy train traveling in the middle of the night from Boston, which is my home, my pretty much entire life, to a brand new world that was Philadelphia. So you're right, Aaron. I wrote the 1 hour and 47 minute film on a 4 hour train ride from Boston to Philadelphia.
But there's so much in it that I know when you finished school in Arlington,
mm-hmm.
you went to a local university.
No, I think it's pretty far. Very opposite of locals. Everything.
It's New England.
Yeah, you're right.
Local New England University.
Yeah, yeah.
So give them credit.
It's true.
And you went to?
I went to Castleton University. Yeah. And I played basketball there.
And also took a lot of great classes.
Of course. Intro screenwriting, which is what led me to this point in my life. I also did a lot of video production. And probably most importantly, touchstones in creative writing, because I continue to form the concept of the art form, which is written literature. So, yeah.
But I know the last time we spoke, you mentioned that your writing began before college, before taking the trip to Philly.
Well, the origins of being an artist actually started as a poet. Surprisingly enough, that actually was where it all began. Obviously, I played sports at a very young age, as well as did everything else kind of like a young boy would do. But my journey into poetry is what led me into everything I've done since then. I was a young poet, published at the age of 16. And from there, poetry led to short stories, the novels, and then to screenwriting.
And I know you mentioned before, you had a very insightful teacher.
Yes, Miss Orlando. Shout out to Miss O. She created creative writing in Arlington High School. And she gave us a shirt at the end of every year. And she gave us the confidence to be able to write outside of the norm that they typically have you write in college, where it's just an essay or a biography. She created this element where you could write about whatever you wanted. and you could add your own voice to it and your own personality. And I strived in that environment, and Miss O really helped form that. So shout out to her.
So, I mean, and we're in another great educational institution.
Yeah.
And it shows how your mentors start early, your insight into yourself starts early, and that you need to find, because we can't do it all alone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you find people who enhance, and I saw that in the movie.
Thank you.
You know, the opening is, you know, a blizzard, and tragedy hits Roman or Boston once he goes to Philly.
It's all the same. Yeah.
And everybody else is talking for you and not to you. You know, what are we going to do? Where are we going to go? What are we going to do? And then your coach, who you had known for a very, very long time. I mean, because you have to see the movie to get the real impact. But, you know, you just have a tragedy in your life, and he says, I'm here for you and everything else. And you're saying, you know, step back. I need my space.
I need space.
I'm upset.
I'm isolated. I want to be alone.
I'm hurt.
Yeah.
You know, a matter of fact, because he got you so upset, but it wasn't he wasn't the reason why you were totally upset. What happened was, and I don't want to give it away, but, you know, and you haul off and slug him as you guys are standing on the roof.
Yeah, last show.
You know, sliding all over that roof. That was, how you stood up on that roof.
Well, you know, it's funny, I've heard from so many different people that have watched the film that the very first scene you see me in happens to be some of everyone's favorite film in the entire movie. And I'm proud that one of the first films in the movie happens to be everyone's favorite. But, you know, it's authentic. Like, it was a snowstorm. That really was a blizzard that the government said, do not go outside. And those slides, the fact that we were, like, barely on our feet, on, like, you know, hundreds of stories up in the air, is all authentic. And you're right, it was difficult to be on our feet and not fall off the roof.
But you left it in there.
Okay, yeah.
That was the important part, because every bit fits.
Absolutely.
You know, and, you know, you take the long ride to Philadelphia, which, mm-hmm. you know, because they show you driving to Philadelphia, because, you know, not seeing you on a train when you're going there. And you meet, not that you didn't know her, but your godmother.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, I'm not ready for this. I don't know how to handle this. Yet, I'm not thinking about you. I'm thinking about myself. And you're saying, anything else? You know, I mean, you were a very hurting young man at the time. And in the movie, you weren't even 18 at the time. And, you know, people go through tragedies at all different ages. But seeing that you had, as your character, and had written, the confidence to be there and not freak out back when she's going a little bit
zany,
minor psycho.
Yeah.
And, you know, where's my room? Just want to go to my room. And then you spend some time with yourself. And
yeah, it shows time elapsing. It's this element of, that's great you mentioned that, Aaron. Again, I love how in touch you are with what I was trying to put it in. Cause it's a very complicated film, and not too many people can capture these small, minor things. You're right. So the interaction of Rome and Yolette is very interesting, because, again, our first introduction is that she's late, right? Like, she's running, she's in her bedroom, chasing around, finding clothes to go pick up Rome. And then she finally gets Rome, and she's basically telling, instead of asking how he's doing or paying more attention to what he's going through, she just talks about how, you know, how it is that she got the news and how much her life has now been affected. That's the last thing Rome wants to hear.
But that's so today.
Yeah.
Okay. If this movie had been 50 years ago,
mm-hmm.
okay, so that would have been, well, in the 60s. and late 50s. It's different. You saw, I mean, example, Happy Days. You see, you know, they cared about each other more. And it was more about what was going on with the kids than themselves.
Yeah, absolutely.
And today it's like, okay, take it from there. You know, and, you know, what are you going to do? You know, you got to go to school. You know, how are you going to go to school? What are you going to go to school for? And then, of course, you see G and his best friend.
G and Ant, yeah.
Yeah. In a very compromising position. And it comes back later in the movie, but it more into it. But it's, he wants to move on. He doesn't want to be just the average guy on the street. And it's tough because, of course, you know, he comes from a different background, a fractured background, and he stands up for himself. You know, why should I give you the money to go to school? You know, why should the school give the money and put, after you have a record?
Yeah.
Well, because that's what needs to be done to help save this gentleman from his side of Philly.
I think, yeah, well, John Jameson, who played the role of G, did a really good job of really almost method acting, where when he was G, he never stopped being G. And that scene in particular you're referring to, where, you know, he's sitting down, our first real conversation with G, he's sitting down speaking with the woman that will potentially give him the financial aid to attend the university. You know, she kind of mentions, well, you know, you have this horrible past. Why should we actually help you? And he kind of mentions, you know, why wouldn't you help him? Look what he survived. And that's when he kind of breaks down the idea of he has a record, but he's made it out okay. He's never been arrested. And he just simply survived, like you mentioned, very difficult situation. And I feel as though something like that is commendable. It's rewardable. And the fact that he was also able to live through this community of crime and still have good enough grades to potentially go to an Ivy League college, that says everything you need to know. And he reiterated that. Yeah, that was a really favorite scene of mine.
And also the introduction of, and my mind just, but the...
Rai-Rai?
No, there was the words that he used that were told to him by his friend.
Yeah,
about that's it.
Affluenza. Yeah.
And that I apologize not for remembering the word, but I know, you know, and there's too many people today that look at it that, you know, we're privileged and it's what we deserve.
Yeah.
Instead of, let's take those who have other challenges and still know that they deserve just as much as everybody else. It should be an equal playing field, not a we're better than you, so we deserve it better than you.
Absolutely. I mean, the very idea of affluenza, when that first came out, when I came across it writing the movie, it was a sense of like, I don't think people will believe this. And it wasn't a big deal at that point in time. But for me, I felt as though it was going to be a big deal. It was a big deal for me. So I put it in the film. And I'm just happy that at this point in time, it's become a bigger deal. But I mean, just, I've always been kind of perplexed when people don't really, people's opinions on that. Mm-hmm. You know, do you feel as though affluenza is a credible thing, is a credible defense, where you're so affluent, you're so rich, that you can't be held responsible for the normal rules of society? Because you're just not used to it, you've never had to deal with it. Like, what are your thoughts on that? Do you feel as though that's something that's actually like,
It's out there. And, you know, when somebody who has major money gets into trouble, they find their way around it. Although it doesn't always happen. I mean, we've had...
Bill Cosby.
Yeah. Mike Tyson.
Yeah. Even though Tyson claims he's innocent.
Bernie Madoff.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, you know, we're better, so we can get around it, you know. Well, he's in jail forever.
Yeah.
And, you know, It's not. It's, I guess we have to borrow it from another Boston boy, Leonard Nimoy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the one to the many and the many to the one. And that's what it really should be. It's good. Not, I'm better than you are because I grew up over here. This is what my father did or my mother did. Or this is what I do. I mean, when you first meet Philly, which of course, the theme song for the whole movie is right there, the rapping and the brusking playing and everything else. And you're over there and you're walking over and then you see her tearing up and not sure why. And then you follow her out. But you're doing it in a way with respect.
Absolutely.
She's looking at that it's, well, geez, you know, I don't care what type of car, I don't care what how your jump shot is.
Yeah.
I, you know, and she didn't know you from anybody. But due to the fact that, excuse this, everybody looks the same when you're coming after you. And you're not sure. And you could red, white, blue, green, black,
they're
orange, whatever.
All the same.
All the same, you know.
Same.
And
until they prove themselves different.
That's right. And talking and, you know, can I take you away from this? And, you know.
This is escape.
Your escape. But when you went upstairs, and that was an important part, I know, big part of the movie, getting to see, I may have been wrong, but there may have been like 10 different locations for shooting.
Mm-hmm.
And you come up out of the subway, and you see
City Hall,
and you see the fountain. And later in the movie, Philly turns to you and says, I thank you for bringing me back to something I forgot.
Yeah.
From bringing me back to the beginning. It was a separation away. And I know it's something I didn't ask you last time, but how much freedom did you give the other actors and yourself? Because I know you had a script, but how much improvisation did you give them? License?
You know, not much. And it wasn't a sense of like I was taking something away from them. It was more or less the script was just, it was well done. Like I really put so much effort and there was just so much concentration to making sure it was very authentic and making sure it was very real and gritty that there not too many times there was altercations when it came to the script. Like when Philly and Boston meet in that train station and she says those things, you know, Mia Mendez, who played the role of Philly, that was like one of the first things she said when she read the script. She was like, yo, that is something I've said already. There's been plenty of guys who come out there that think they're going to show off by saying they drive a nice car or that they play sports. And she was like, that was really well said. I wouldn't want to change that. And of course, when we finally started discussing City Hall and how moved I was by seeing something beautiful, it capturing me, and from there, I want to know more about it. And then I immediately kind of turned that into why I was interested in Philly. I mean, Mia, again, she was like, this is perfectly well said. This is perfectly written. Let's stick to this program and move forward.
The chemistry was there. And your first kiss.
The first kiss, yes.
It just works. I mean, it just flows right into it. And after the first confrontation coming out of the subway, you'd think that she'd back off.
Mm-hmm.
But she didn't. Because each character in this movie doesn't get revealed the first moment you meet them. Their whole life is not thrown out there. It's throughout the movie interwoven. And why she was the way she was, the why you were the way you were. And then the other characters too. I mean, you had so much interaction with we'll get to that in a second. because we're speaking with
Ralph Celestin
here on What's Happening. And it's just about Boston to Philly.
Boston to Philly, available now on Amazon Prime.
And as I mentioned, I've seen it now twice, And I want to own the movie. I want to own a hard copy of it so I can watch it anytime I want.
It coming soon.
And the music is fitting. I know that there's so much that goes into the music and the musicians that were behind it throughout the movie. And I said that to you that some of the music is not something I normally listen to. And I mentioned that the first time, but when we met downstairs coming up today, I said I enjoyed every bit of the music and it fit. Yeah. Now, I'm more conservative on what I listen to. It wasn't Beethoven.
No, it was not.
You know, and it wasn't the Beatles and it wasn't Aerosmith. It was Boston to Philly music. And it helped in every way because it helped it flow. It also... Why did you pick... I know you're going to Philly for a new job and everything else when you first went, but why did you pick Philly as the focus, because it's a new place that you're going to, instead of where you've come from?
Well, it's because I knew Boston. And I wanted to show the experience of discovering a new city as I was discovering a new city. Because again, I star in this movie. So the point of view, the narrative that you're looking at is me. And then when you're not on me, that's when you're learning about the histories of everyone else. But the film starts with me, the middle, and ends with me. So I wanted to make this real to life. And how more raw can I make a film than showing Philadelphia? I already knew about Boston. Wouldn't make sense to show Boston. Anytime I showed Boston was when I was at the church, when I was in a snowstorm, and that was, oh, and when I came back at the very end to play basketball.
Basketball, yeah.
So, and I show Boston just in terms of distant memory, because at that point in time in my life, that's what it was. I had already moved on from Boston. There was something new that I was experiencing, and that was the focus. So I wanted to make that the focus of the film.
Although I did notice the cliches about Boston, the city.
Yeah.
Came up, because I know I'm jumping ahead, but when you reached out to find Philly and you had the confrontation, I think you got a good, nice slug in that
movie.
He
knocked me down. He tried to TKO me.
Yeah. But, you know, it's all about the beans and the this and the this and this. It's like, but that's not what Boston's all about.
Yeah, well, but that wasn't a cliche. That was someone making fun of us, right?
But
that was someone trying to insult us and doing a good job, making light of what Boston is. Just cliche, you know, it's making light of the stereotypes that is Boston. But that particular scene where one of the thugs kind of knocks me down and then says, "Don't come here no more," mm-hmm. or "We're gonna steal you for all of your Boston Tea Party and your Boston baked beans." That was more like, we're going to make fun of you and your culture, as opposed to like showcasing this is what Boston is. But good catch.
But also, okay, first, okay, you part from Philly, and I mean, you know, we find out later that her name is Carolina.
Yeah.
But when you asked her name, she said, Philly. And you said, well, then Boston.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, fitting. And then figure out, okay, yeah, we're never going to see each other again.
Yeah.
You know, according to her, you're never going to see each other again. It's, you know, don't follow me, you know, you don't want to be with me.
What are the chances that you will run into each other again?
And then, first day of college, or university, you're meeting after the class, and she found you.
She finds me.
She finds you. But I want to jump into what happens in that classroom, which is so very important.
Mm-hmm.
You're sitting in the classroom and with other students, first day of school.
All strangers.
In walks this professor. And he says, I'm not going to tell you about my rap sheet. I'm not going to tell you this, not going to tell you that. I'm going to tell you that I'm worth $6 million and that I'm not going to teach the way everybody else teaches. I want you to get to know you. But I'm going to put you in groups. but then you put yourselves in your groups. That's what he says.
Mm-hmm.
But he offers you $50,000 to do so. Real or fake, that's
up to you to,
up to, you to figure out. And, you know, you're skeptical from the beginning, you know, but you're sitting there with the other students. And when Philly came up to you, you know, she said, you know, basically, you know, you want to join us. You know, we're it's three and one, and you're saying, well, I'm one and I need three others, yeah. You know, and I want to pass this class. But we don't know. We don't know. I mean, because it's still in the early stages. And then, well, I'd say a close friend of yours now, a great landmark restaurant.
Gino's.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Allowed you to film there. And you're sitting down there, the four of you, and the, I forgot what her name is.
Leah Allison?
The other young lady that was...
Yeah, Leah Allison.
Okay. Says, you know, we've got to sit down, we've got questions, we've got to do this. You know, we've got, you know, money on the line.
Yeah.
But we got to do it. And, you know, sitting there and, you know, people, you're eating, but then you're saying, hey, you know, I'm out of here, this is not what it is.
Well, that, you know, again, that scene, so I'll tell you, Aaron, and I don't actually give too much insight to people when it comes to my thoughts on the film and my favorite scenes, but that actually is my favorite scene in the movie, because it's the first time we see every single member of the group engage, knowing what the history is. So at that point in time, we know that Rome, we know his entire backstory. His, you know, he left Boston because of tragedy. He's fighting at home with his godmother. He had a relationship with a stranger at this point that goes by Philly, and now he's stuck in a class and with a group, and he's not in the invite, like, he's not in the mindset where he wants new friends or he could even manage speaking to friends. That's his story. Then we have G. We know that there was a tragic accident that we didn't see the outcome of. We know that he went through something very traumatic, and he barely got into the university by the skin of his teeth. And now he's part of this. And then we have Philly, who is a complete mystery to everybody involved. And then we have Rai Rai, who we didn't even see in the classroom. She's just there and completely new to us as well. So the dynamic
and
of everybody.
And she has a lot of emotional feelings behind everything and reasons for it. And you have to watch the movie to see that. You have to see, you know... because they're sitting around there and say, well, you know, you got to answer the question.
Absolutely.
What do you mean, me? Yeah, me first? Well, okay. And, you know, the questions, first one, you know, about the child, you know, you want to know, you don't want to know, you know, and then get into going around, and the questions were, well, actually, that is the part that you said was improvised.
The entire Gino scene is improvised for the most part. The questions, of course, were scripted, but the responses were supposed to be a form of method acting practice where every single person responded in terms of how they felt as though their character would probably respond to these questions.
And well done. Well done. Like I said, with the music and the insight... And it goes through a lot of different changes. Like when you say to Philly a little later, can I take you out? And she says, it's not a date. And she said, oh, it's a date.
It's a date.
It's a date. And the area you went to was like a hidden area and so beautiful.
Yeah, it was. Absolutely. So it's funny you mentioned that, Aaron, because, again, one major element to the film Boston to Philly, which is available on Amazon Prime, is that a lot of the locations in Philadelphia, no one knows about. They're all hidden. Most of the places that we showcase in the film are places that Philadelphians themselves have never been to. And after watching the movie, they then want to travel to. So we went to a location that actually has never had a film shoot there until us. So we actually made history with that scene. We were the first ones. After speaking with the owner and the small group of investors, they were able to let us shoot in there. But it's right on South Street. It's a gardens. It's called The Gardens. And yeah, it made the perfect setting for love to blossom.
And it did. And speaking of that, there's a well-written, choreographed love scene that is modest compared to most.
I think so.
And well done. I know that you said that before that your family gives you digs about that.
They had fun with the scene, yeah.
But the movie is just getting into it and enjoying it. And, you know, because I don't want to give too much away because I want people to go and see the movie.
Yeah, go out and watch it.
Go out and watch it, review it, make the movie part of you because it is part of you. If you look at all the characters and you look at the challenges that each one has and the challenge by the professor to find out who you are through your group, through the people. And a big part of that happens at a venue which nobody knew about because G brought you guys there and said, well, I brought a few people. No, I've never brought anybody here. Yes. And this is my place. And no, it's our home now. It's our home. And the music behind it and the bands. When you first found the music, how did you find the music?
So every single person that's part of the Boston to Philly soundtrack, which is available on iTunes and Spotify right now, as well as Amazon, it was a sense of either coincidence or destiny. I'll leave it up to the viewers to decide. But every single person that's involved with the film's soundtrack are artists that I specifically ran into personally, that I had a conversation with, that I listened to live, and that I was able to explain what it is I was doing and what it is they were doing, and we just found a way to make it work. That specific scene you mentioned, that starring Jason and the Tall Trees, they're a Philadelphia but an international touring band, and I met the lead singer, Jason, when he was going off on the saxophone in a middle of the night, right in Rittenhouse Square, middle of the week. I had stayed up all night, couldn't sleep, so I just went wandering around the city, stumbled across him on South Street, and from there we exchanged information, and I'm like, yo, your stuff's dope. Let me put it in my movie. And that's what I did. And the same went with everyone else. Justin Graham, RIP, he just recently passed away. Same with him. You know, we met in Rittenhouse. He gave me his information. I listened to his music. I was utterly moved by the talent behind this man. So I had to put him in the film, and I had to give him some of the most iconic scenes in the film. So,
well, it's like the, because some of the music was just theirs, but you know, the Boston, the Philly theme song, you know, which gets into it. You got to listen to it. You got to see it because it also shows something very important too. Throughout the whole film, it's not a black film, it's not a white film, it's an everybody film. I mean, in the opening you have a younger lady playing the guitar and a little bit older gentleman rapping and singing, and it's like, this is what we're all about.
Yeah.
You know, we are
merging the gap.
Yeah. And it just really helped. You know, the thoughts behind it are so perfect. And like I said, it's all introspective. And you have to watch it because you're going to learn stuff about yourself. And if you don't learn something from watching the movie, you better watch it again. Because I saw more in it the second time I watched it. I mean, like I said, the music took me the second time, even more than the first. The challenges of everybody, you know, because you're going through basically a full 2 semesters of school.
Yeah, full year.
You know, full year. And not many classes actually go for a full year.
Yeah.
So, but the interaction, the confrontation, the how Philly is in two relationships, yet she's not sure which one to go with. One is very long and very deep, but hurtful. And the other, but
traumatic.
Traumatic, but also, you know, she says, I owe a lot to you for every time you saved me. Yet, I saw that what was going on in the movie was saving everybody. Because everybody was lost coming in. But they're not lost. They're, you know, it's just that important. You know?
And, you know, Aaron, I feel as though that's kind of how it is for most people when they're entering their first year of college. You know, and maybe not, it's not even fair to just kind of say first year of college, just in terms of that age, that time in life where you are, you know, for the most part, transitioning from a child to a man or to a child to a woman. You know, you're just about turning 18. Now you can vote. Now you can potentially, you should be driving everywhere. There's a lot of different things you're facing. And for those that have been through trauma or have things that they've gone through that's layered, and that's your typical experience, they're now at a point where they need to either figure out how to deal with this or it's going to affect them for the rest of their life. And that's kind of what Boston and Philly really is all about, is surviving trauma, using the friendships and the bonds you form, and just making it out okay.
And it, like I said, it all works, but you also are just completing a second film.
Yes, Sally's Kitchen.
And I want to give people a little bit of a taste of what it's about. And, I mean, when do you think it'll come out?
So that has been a joyride, because obviously I've been doing Boston to Philly, enjoying the release of that, but simultaneously shooting this film. So that film is going to be wrapped up with production the end of this summer, and it shall be premiering in one of the major film festivals by the start of the winter. And that's called Sella's Kitchen, and it's actually another personal story. This is more towards my Haitian American side, and it's starring Arthur Williams and Trisha Mondesir, Jolie Stewart, Taylor Andre, Talina Wiggins, and Aaron Wilson. It is a film that encompasses the Haitian cuisine, the conflict between Haiti and Dominican Republic, and also the culture that is Boston. And that's going to be coming out, premiering this winter, hitting the festival circuit after the winter premiere.
And I mentioned in the pre-show, and when I made the post for the show, this movie, Boston to Philly, has won so many awards around the world.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, best director, best film, best actress, best music. Matter of fact, you know, the music just, you know, another hit has just dropped from the
soundtrack.
You bring it all together and you don't forget where you're from, because even though you were going to Philly, without having the Boston side, it's very hard to know the insight into the other. And vice versa, because, you know, I know, because you mentioned in our previous interview that when you had your open auditions, it was a very complicated, special day.
It was heartbreaking, is what it was. I wouldn't say special, Aaron. I'd say it was devastating for the most part, because, again, you know, we're an indie project. I don't think too many people really remember that we came from very humble beginnings, where we rented out this dungeon of a room in an old historic community center in the middle of Philadelphia. And the day we held auditions, it was a stormy, rainy night. And so we had, I think, 20 to 30 different actors that were scheduled to audition in front of me, and all of them didn't show up. And of course, I mentioned last time for our last interview that I had discovered this crazy statistic that says 4 every 5 films, or 5 every 7 films, never see the end of day. they don't get completed, they just die. So knowing that prior to the auditions, by the hour to go, you know, it was horrible. No one came out. No one showed up, and it was very sad.
But what I'm saying, being special, because the people who did show up were the perfect fit for every part that you were looking for. So it's similar to the film. You have tragedy leading to a gem.
Oh, well
okay.
said. Well said, Aaron.
Same thing with the day of auditions. You're sitting there and you're worried and worried and worried, and then boom, the right people show up for the right parts. The music, you're meeting the right people and putting it in the film. And the one who loses in this movie is the one who doesn't see it.
You're right.
And it you know, it, like I said, I mean, some movies I'll see over and over and over again, but an independent film that was financed by you thoroughly. I remember you said you took on a second job to make sure it came to fruition. It wasn't crowdfunded. You did it.
Absolutely.
Okay. And believing in everything that you stood for and what was behind you. And now with Solace Kitchen, it's what it's all about. And if you were going to say to somebody who's out there who's thinking of, because we've got a couple minutes left, who's creative or thinks they're creative, what would you suggest that they do?
I would urge them to really have the confidence to take that step forward and begin your journey now. Don't hesitate, don't wait, don't procrastinate. Start the journey right now, because there is no better feeling and there's no better savory moment than when you have completed the dream project you've always had. That moment of vindication is yours, and the taste is oh so sweet. Begin your journey.
And that's coming from an award-winning actor, director, writer, and a great friend, Ralph Celestin, the director of
Boston to Philly, available on Amazon Prime.
And you've got to see it, because you can rent it, you can own it. Down the road, it will be all available in physical copy, and also the music is available on
iTunes.
And Ralph, I could go on for hours.
Yeah, we can. We can. We have a good time together.
Because it's really great to have you in. And we didn't have enough time. But we've got another film coming out after. And got to keep everybody informed. And where can they find... But this Boston to Philly Facebook page. There's a website.
Yeah.
And I know that you mentioned, go to Boston to Philly. There's a lot of interaction back and forth, and you're going to enjoy it. You're going to love it. Ralph, thank you. I appreciate you coming in.
I appreciate you having me. Very blessed with the opportunity.